inexplicable. The last unconquered kingdom.
Now the time has come to answer the unanswerable, to dance into the abyss, to finally know the mind of God.
That's where I come in. I'm Lionel Nimrod, inventor of the interstellar laser ray gun toy, and Mackay off of ABC TV's Star Ark. Come with me now into the swirling mists of human inadequacy. Love is like an asteroid. Or so I claimed in my 1967 pop LP, Lionel Nimrod's Songs from Space. It brings laughter and gaiety as it whizzes by to all who see it in the sky. What a young fool I was then. That asteroid I admired so much smashed my bones and burned away my soul and happiness, leaving nothing but an emptiness as hollow as the vacuum of space itself. But what is this wonderful force that makes the poet sing, the lamb skip, and the wise old man caper like a foolish schoolgirl? What is love? Join me, if you dare, in this, my inexplicable world.
Lionel Nimrod's Inexplicable World. Umbrellas in the golden showers of mystery.
I'm Stuart Lee, and my given name is Richard Herring. Hello, and welcome one and all. Love is the mysterious power that inspired Sir Philip Sidney to write Astrophil and Stella, and which prompted Lee Matthews to write Bridget Seeley is Lush in the third cubicle along in the Weston-super-Mare Pier gentleman's lavatory.
But what is it that generates such feelings of love? The human race has asked itself this question since early man first found himself wondering what early woman would look like if he scraped off the caked layers of mud and filth and gave her a good scrub down.
They say love is blind, which explains why the beautiful actress Jenny Seagrove loves the 84-year-old film director Michael Winner. In fact, this case also suggests that love is not only blind, but deaf and has no sense of touch and is stupid.
Nothing can stand in the way of love, or so said King Edward VIII. Obviously, he'd never met my ex-girlfriend's mother. Who could have succeeded in wrecking his relationship with Mrs. Simpson, where the church, government and royal family failed? Her name is Anne Wilson, and she's a junior school teacher from Greenwich in South London.
The Sun's Dr. Vernon Coleman, in his book Sex for Everyone, How to Have Fun Without Fear, Angus and Robertson, 1989, says that you're in love when you suddenly realise you are kissing your best friend. But kissing your best friend is actually the last sad act of desperation of a 30-year-old single person whose old schoolmates are now all married.
And so, out of reverence for the beautiful, life-enriching, some would say spiritual power of love, this week's show is being broadcast live from the 1970s TV comedy cruise liner, The Love Boat.
Love. Exciting and new.
Yes, and our audience here tonight is made up of all the other passengers on the ship, all searching for love for one reason or another. Whether it be the unhappy separation from their long-term partner, or, as in the case of that gentleman over there, simple, plain ugliness.
To be honest, Richard, I don't really see the point of us being on this boat. Couldn't we just have recorded the show in the studio and then dubbed on some seagoing sound effects?
No, of course not, Stu. Because only here, actually on the Love Boat, are we sure to find out what love is. This vessel has a magical, romantic power. In the 1970s, a whole host of familiar American TV movie actors found everlasting love on this very vessel.
Yeah, I've got the cast list here, actually, in Leonard Maltin's TV Movie and Video Guide, Signet, 1989. The Love Boat stars included Quinn Redeker, Wesley Addy, Tracy Brooks Swope, Bernie Capel, Jared Homer, Candy Azzara, Ken Berry, and Tom Bosley. Obviously, the revelations of love that they underwent made them think there was little point in carrying on with their acting careers.
Now, Stuart, Tom Bosley, as you well know, played Mr. Cunningham in Happy Days. So don't knock him.
Sorry, Rich. Sorry, Tom. To get us started, let's have a look at what people have said about love down the ages.
Elizabeth Barrett Browning, 1841.
How do I love thee? Let me count the ways. two.
Oscar Wilde, 1902.
Mine is a love that dare not speak its name. Its name is Ian Norman Edis. Which is a terribly unfashionable name in society these days.
Wendy Craig, 1979.
Love is like a butterfly. It has wings, antennae, and grows out of a sort of pupa thing. Oh no, that's a moth. A moth is like a butterfly.
Record Breakers, Norris McWhirter, 1989.
The record for being the best lover in the world ever is held by me, Norris McWhirter. If you don't believe me, you can look it up in the Guinness Book of Records.
Right, now we're down in the ship's bar having a bit of a drink with some of the passengers. Let's see if any of them have got any ideas about love. Madam, what do you love?
I love my God, my Queen, and my fellow countrymen. And I tell you, it's a bugger trying to juggle it so they don't find out about each other.
You there, sir, what do you love?
Well, I live my life by the medieval code of courtly love. I can only love someone from afar who I've never actually met or talked to or even seen at all, which I think is the best way. For a long time, I loved the woman who lived upstairs from me, who I'd never seen, and I was very happy. Then I accidentally caught a glimpse of her. Ooh, it was horrible.
Sir, what do you love?
I love spaghetti.
I see, it's very funny.
I really, really, really love spaghetti. That's what I love.
Yeah, great.
It's great because you can have it on its own, on toast, as a side dish with a sauce. You can boil it, steam it, grill it, fry it. Just crunch it up and eat it raw. It's brilliant.
Very funny. Thanks very much indeed.
No, I don't think you understand. I really, really do love spaghetti. Seriously. I love it as you would your country or your God. I love spaghetti.
That's very funny. Thanks very much for sharing that with us.
Do you know what I've got in my pocket?
No.
Spaghetti.
Well, interestingly enough, there's actually no written mention of the word love anywhere in the literature of the entire world before the 17th century. Until then, people were quite happy to get it together with the first person they met who didn't obviously have smallpox, leprosy, black death, or some of their limbs just hanging on by threads of skin.
But the introduction of the National Health Service by Oliver Cromwell in 1667 and the invention of Clearasil in 1668 meant that people started to get choosy about who they shacked up with. 17th century poets and writers were quick to capitalise on this state of affairs by dreaming up the whole idea of love.
This idea you've got again then, Dan, what's it called again?
Love, Coleridge, it's called love. It's a very clever idea, actually. Love imbues basic human physical sexual needs with the dignity of an imaginary higher spiritual force. Plus, and this is good news for us writers, right? Love rhymes with a sod of a lot of other words. Dove, shove,
blood,
yeah.
Stove, there's half rhyme there.
Come on. Quarter rhyme.
Yeah, and it alliterates with lick.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. It's good, isn't it?
This love, though, Dan, what's it actually going to be like?
Well, Chaucer, someone who's in love won't be able to sleep. They'll drift around, sighing and making a strangely peaceful, yet oddly determined face, and they'll moan in terrible agony.
Well, that doesn't sound very good. Reminds me of when I had a really big tapeworm. Never catch on, John. Look, barmaid, oi! I love you.
What? I don't speak French, dear.
Well, of course it doesn't work yet, obviously. But once we've got love down on paper, all the kids will be doing it in the playground. Here's a poem I did earlier, right? Oi, barmaid, listen. I love you. Do you love me too? Well, come here and bend over that table. Ooh.
Ooh. How romantic. Oh. John, isn't all this rather pathetic and sexist?
Who said that?
Him.
George Eliot. Always siding with the women. Sometimes I wonder about you know.
But despite the protestations of George Eliot, love prospered. George went on to boycott the whole idea of love and chose instead to spend his whole life writing a 9,000-page book about a mill and some floss. And the adventures they had together.
But love just wouldn't go away, and to commemorate the 300th anniversary of Dunn's invention of the whole concept, the entire decade of the 1960s was made into a global celebration of love, with the prize of a free hat awarded to whoever had grown the most facial hair by December 1969. Here's some clips of just what went on in those crazy times.
I believe in free love. In fact, I've set up this stall here in Leicester Market to give out love. Free. Whatever you bring here, a pet, a craning picture you've drawn, an elderly relative, I will love it for free. I'm especially good at loving teenage girls. To come here, and I'm even prepared to make a small contribution towards travel and other expenses.
Well, love can move mountains, right? So why shouldn't we use it to move other things? We're going to use the power of love to levitate major political figures out of their clothes and through the air in their underwear on an invisible wave of love. We feel this is the only way to achieve direct political change in the world today.
And how many world leaders have you levitated so far?
Well, more than you think, actually.
What, more than none, then?
We're not going to count them with the numbers our parents used. Numbers are the tools of fools, man. It's love that counts, not numbers.
None, then.
All you need is love.
All you need is love, or so say pop sensations of Beatles. And their number one fan, Matthew Burton, has taken their message to heart. To prove his hero's right, Matthew's refusing to have any possessions, clothing, food, water, or even air. That's right. He's about to try and live in a vacuum in a sealed glass box with literally nothing in there with him but his love. He's in, and oh dear, he's dead. John Lennon, do you feel responsible for this tragedy?
Not really, no. Matthew didn't live by our creed at all. He didn't have just love, did he? He had the apparatus to make the vacuum there as well. He disobeyed my law of no possession and must face the consequences.
But has love as a powerful force survived from the 60s through the cynical 70s and 80s? One person who thinks so is ex-Hereford United goalkeeping son of God, David Icke. He's been unfairly lampooned for his insane and stupid ideas. And for being insane and stupid. But the Lionel Nimrod team treat all theories and faiths with equal respect, even when they've been thought up by someone who is obviously insane and stupid, and isn't even very good at being a goalkeeper.
Now, Stu, there might be a lot of sense in everything that David Icke says. In his book, The Truth Vibrations, New David Icke Press, 1990, David Icke writes of how love, far from being just a puny everyday sexual attraction thing, is actually a galactic power, a spiritual energy that physically holds the universe together.
Yeah, but David Icke's confusing love with gravity there, isn't he, Rich?
Look, lay off, David Stew. You and every other tuppenny, halfpenny comedian has found it easy to get a cheap laugh out of mentioning David's name and the colour turquoise in the same sentence. But why not give him a chance? I've invited him onto the Love Boat to hear what he thinks, so let's give him a bit of human respect. Ladies and gentlemen, David Icke.
Hello, Richard. Thank you. Thanks for sticking up for me there. All that glistens is not gold, as I think you know. And the thing is, I am actually stupid and insane. But even so, the joke is on Stuart because I am able to harness all the power of love in the universe to use it as I see fit. If the audience would use me as a duct of love and project all their loving feelings onto me, then I can channel their love power into this electronic circuit board and activate this buzzer.
Well, let's try that. Come on, audience. I want you to shout out the names of the things you love at David. Come on, shout them out.
Shout the names of anything you love.
Nothing's happening now. Come on, more love, more love.
Nothing's happening, David.
We need more love. More.
I love you, Stuart.
I love me too.
I love spaghetti. Yay, the buzzer. It's worked.
Yeah, well done, David. David isn't the turquoise fool that we imagined. The force of love worked a small buzzer.
Yeah, you must be careful with that, though, David. In the wrong hands, your love power could become a terrible weapon. An evil madman in an undersea base could harness the love power and make small buzzers ring in all the world's major capitals, possibly annoying some old people.
Yes.
Right, off you go, then.
In the Christian faith, the force of love is personified by Saint Valentine, the patron saint of making sad, lonely, ugly people feel like crap.
The wedding service represents an attempt to translate the imperceptible wonder of the love force into a comprehensive symbolic form. It's also a chance to meet unknown relatives and old friends and reopen old wounds in a deadly, free alcohol environment. To explain the complex symbolic message of the wedding service, Father Raymond Van Halen is below deck in the ship's chapel.
Well, here I am with Helen and Austin, who are due to be married today.
Hello. Yes, we are looking forward to it.
Now, Helen, in the wedding, you will be wearing a white dress. Now, this symbolizes that wonderful nervous feeling inside your stomach, Helen, which you call love. But as you will shortly discover, to your eternal regret, is only nervousness.
Thank you, Father.
And Austin, you will be wearing a grey suit and a top hat. The grey suit, Austin, symbolizes the greyness of your future life with Helen, trapped within the miserable bonds of matrimony.
Yes, for it is written, and so it must be shall.
And the top hat is God in outer space, above your head, looking down upon your doings and laughing at you, for the idiocy of your deluded love maketh the Lord gladsome of loin.
Our loin is gladsome indeed.
Then the charming besuited page boys symbolize the squirming brood of snot-faced puking children waiting to spring forth from your sagging bodies and suck you dry for 20 years. Good.
Thank you, Father. For it is good.
What does the wedding ring symbolize then, Father Van Halen?
The ring symbolizes a ring. Ladies like rings, Austin. My own wife has 4 or 5. Well, I think that's all. As long as you've arranged for the photographs which must be taken in the graveyard, for your tragic bonding makes you naught but shadows of the dead. And verily, love and death are but 2 hands in the same stinking glove. I hope you will be very happy together.
Thank you, Father.
Right now, I'm in the cabin of the captain of the love boat, Seaman Dick Freenham. Dick, you've been captain of the love boat 20 years now. I expect you've had more than your fair share of romantic encounters in all that time aboard this magical craft.
Not really, Richard. In all that time, I've had only one love. My mistress is the sea. The sea has her stormy moods, but no human lover can compare with her raging beauty. Obviously, she is full of fish and salt and bits of broken plastic and sewage. But I like that in a woman.
You've never been tempted by beautiful actress passengers like Candy Azar and Tracy Brooks Swope?
No, I just love the sea, although I'm quite fond of spaghetti.
Well, thank you. But what has science got to tell us about love? Over to Wendy Leafley to find out.
Early 1980s synthesizer player Howard Jones wasn't the first person to ask, what is love? Scientist Dr. Alan Susskind is attempting to succeed where thousands of years of philosophers, poets and Howard Jones all failed. But Alan intends to find out exactly what is love.
I believe love is a smell. I need the smell of love to add to my collection of all the world's smells, which I store in Tupperware boxes here in my underground smell vault. Here is my favorite smell to date, the smell of the entrails of a goose, freshly removed from its body.
Oh, good. Dr. Susskind and his team hope to isolate the smell that is love, but their task is a long and arduous one. Their love smell volunteer today is Will Gallagher, a 17-year-old computer and heavy metal enthusiast.
Will, undress, lie on the slab, and we'll tie you down.
Now, Alan and I will show you my video of Janet Ellis as Mel Gwynn in the early 80s children's show Jigsaw, which should stimulate your love smells, amongst other things.
Will, how do you feel about being tied to a slab naked and sniffed by strangers?
It's all right. It's a bit cold, but they do pay half my travel expenses, and I get a cup of quash orange drink and a yoghurt. Free.
Alan, I'm getting a sort of a tuna fish and cress roll smell.
No, up here.
Oh, sorry.
Hours of sniffing, Dr. Susskind believes he has finally isolated the love smell.
The love smell can be almost exactly recreated by mixing the smell of Carlsberg Special Brew Lager and the smell of a damp Yorkshire Terrier. I'm out in the street, covered from head to toe in this essence, to see if anyone falls in love with me. Help! Ah! Help!
Go away! I'll save you! I'm your best pal!
So, Alan, your experiment was not a success.
No. Due to a bizarre chemical imbalance in the body of Will Gallagher, I only succeeded in finding the smell which stimulates love in male dogs and strange drunken men. However, I do think I may be able to sell this scent, albeit to a very specialised market.
All the passengers have now retired to the Love Boat's cabaret lounge, but as yet no one has paired up. It's most disappointing.
History and myth are full of bizarre accounts of family love. Oedipus loved his mum so much that he gouged his eyes out. But most mums prefer it if you just help out around the house a bit. There's no need to go mad.
But family love isn't always a benevolent force. The home of Mr. and Mrs. Kieran Lipton and their son Grayson appears to be a household swimming in an ocean of mutual love and respect. But is it? Grayson? Grayson, it's supper time. Come to the table.
I can't, Dad. Mum's locked me in this case. I can't get out. I've been here 2 weeks now.
I locked you in that case because I love you, Grayson. If you were to run blindly out of the front door and then carry on running, gathering speed for a further 4 miles, you might end up near the busy main road and be startled by the traffic. It may seem unfair to you now, but when you're older, you'll understand. Mother knows best.
Mother, I'm 38 years old. I can live my own life. God knows where they think I've been at the bank these last 2 weeks.
I've told you, Grayson, you're not going back to that awful bank. You must get a proper career with prospects and security. I love you so much. I can't bear to see you toss your life away.
At least let me have some food. I'm starving. I haven't eaten since you lured me in here.
No, no! Food is full of chemicals, disease and poison. Me and your dad eat it because we didn't know any better in our day.
Yes.
Damn it, Grayson, it's that whore wife of yours. Back here to tempt you away from our love with her lascivious breast.
Hello, Victoria. Come in.
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. Lipton. Lovely to see you. Thank God you're in. I didn't want to worry you, but I haven't seen Grayson for 2 weeks.
Victoria! My mum's locked me in this case! Help me!
Leave our son alone! You must die! Harlot! Grayson!
Victoria!
All right, Grayson. Mummy's here. I suppose you can come out for a moment now, as long as you wear your vest. Grayson?
I think he's suffocated, Rose.
Oh, well. At least now I can look after him properly, without him running off and getting into trouble. Now, Grayson, let me comb your hair. Now we can be a family together again, can't we? Yes, Mummy, we can. I love you, Mummy. You're a good boy, Grayson.
Oh, Rose, you spoil that boy.
Oh, what's happening, Captain Freenham?
Oh, didn't anyone tell you, gentlemen? The Love Boat is about to pass the island of the Sirens, evil, voluptuous, flying lizard vulture women whose beautiful singing voices lure men to their deaths with false promises of true love and hot sex. You'd best stop up your ears. We lose 30 or 40 passengers a year to them.
True love, hot sex, evil, voluptuous, flying lizard women. That sounds interesting.
They're singing. Cover your ears like I am.
Ah, come on, Rich. It's looking a gift horse in the mouth, really, isn't it? I must use this opportunity to find out about love.
Hello, I am a siren. Call. I really fancy you. What's your name?
Stuart Lee, actually. What's your name, lizard woman?
It's Valdrapion. Come on over here if you want a good time.
That sounds really good, but I've heard that the bleached bones scattered over your island bear a mute witness to the ferocity of you and your kind.
Oh, they're just from a barbecue we had on the beach. Come on, we're waiting.
All right.
Stu, come back!
Richard, cover your ears!
It's all right. Even we evil flying vulture lizard women wouldn't touch you, Fate. It's your friend we fancy, not you. And now he's ours to love, kill, and eat. Nice.
It's no good. That's the last we'll see of Stuart Lee. He'll have been torn to shreds and devoured by now.
Well, he wasn't very good anyway. I'll just finish off everything myself then. We're ready to receive one last piece of love information. Over to Peter Fenn for Peter Fenn's Hammond Organ Believe It or Not file.
Well, if music be the food of love, then my Hammond organ is the pantry in which the richest delicacies are stored. Now, believe it or not, love is a many splendored thing. It has over four splendors, each one subtly different from the next.
Thanks, Peter. And this week's Hammond organ music was?
It was The Old-Fashioned Way.
And who's that by?
Well, it took a quartet of talented Frenchmen to pen that beautiful melody, Richard. Kasia, Hershon, Gasserets, and of course Charles Aznavour, who's not just a pretty voice. And I tell you, Richard, you can call me old-fashioned, but as I always say, the old-fashioned way is the best-fashioned way.
Thanks, Peter. Well, it's time to find out now just what love is. And, you know, I think I know. Stuart and I have had our differences along the way. But now he's dead and gone, I know a little bit about what love is. I loved him as a friend. There's nothing funny or odd about it. It's just sometimes you can't see clearly what you've got until that something has been taken away by evil flying lizard vulture women.
Well, Rich, it's me. I'm back now.
Stu! Oh, Stu. Hadn't noticed you were gone, mate.
Well, I've been on the island of the sirens. It was quite good, actually.
Really? Didn't they eat you?
Not eat, exactly, no. Yeah, we had quite a good time, actually. I hit it off with that Thalexopia one particularly well, despite her lizardishness and the wings. And I'm going back for a bit of a holiday next summer. Oh, yeah, and I found out what love is.
That's handy.
Yeah, well, the sirens have been loving, killing and eating people for over 5,000 years now, so they know all about it. Love is just a smell. And here it is in this Tupperware box that Thalexopia gave me.
Oh, let's smell it then.
All right.
Oh, it smells of... spaghetti?
Yeah.
But love is spaghetti.
No, love is the smell of spaghetti.
Oh, good. And look, the love smell has brought our audience together at last. They've all paired off, making their own amusement. So that's all from Lionel Nimrod for now. We'll see you all again sometime when our cruise is over, love willing. And hey, whoever you are, I hope that love finds you.
Yeah, or if you'd rather find it yourself, just pop down to your local Italian restaurant.
Goodbye.
Rich, why are you holding my hand?
So that's love. Now we know where it comes from and why it's there. And you know, perhaps I was nearly right all along. Love isn't an asteroid, oh no. That would be ridiculous. But a comet. It comes round all too rarely. But when it does, foretells doom and destruction. Join me, Lionel Nimrod, next time for another visit to my inexplicable world.
Love, exciting memory.
Lionel Nimrod's Inexplicable World featured Richard Herring, Stuart Lee, Armando Iannucci, and Rebecca Front, with Tom Baker as Lionel Nimrod. It was written by Stuart Lee and Richard Herring and produced by East Anglian love goddess Sarah Smith.
Life's